Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Please take a seat. Apologies for being late in starting, but I'll let Paul explain why that is in a second. But welcome here today. After the service, we do have a church meeting and lunch, and we've had a couple of people, unfortunately, have to drop out. So if a couple of people would like to stay, there is food for you. Just let us know if you'd like to do that and you're not already on the list. And then just a reminder that we're not going to be here next Sunday. So that's Sunday the 2nd of October. We're meeting at the pastures, Methodists and Baptists together. And that's 10:45, still the same time, but at the pastures on Welford Road. Okay, so I'll just hand you over to Paul, and thanks again for taking the service for us today.
thanks, Catherine. The reason why we're a bit late starting, I've discovered that I've got one of the hymn numbers wrong. So if you've got access to books, we probably use the books actually for that one. So if you haven't got a Songs of Fellowship book, which all the other songs are in, if you want to grab one now, then hopefully we'll be able to. To do that. It's completely my apology. The words are very similar, actually, to the two songs, and obviously I looked at it thinking it was one, and it's turned out not to be the one I thought it was, so apologies for that, but perhaps if we can just do that now, that would be great. See, even with technology, things never work out as you expect them to, do they? So thank goodness for the good old paper book sometimes. Eh? Anyway, it's good to be here this morning and to be able to worship together. And we just pray that God will really bless our time together. And for those of us that are stopping later on for lunch and for the church meeting as well, that God will just really be close to us today as we bring our praise and our worship to him. So, our first hymn this morning is number 77, and if we could stand and sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon the Throne."
Thank you.
Let's come before God now in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we want to acknowledge, Father, how great you are, how holy you are, how magnificent you are, that, Lord, you're the King of kings and Lord of Lords. And we come before you today to bring you our praise and our worship. Lord, none of us would be here today unless it was for you, for your creative power, for your sustaining power, Lord, within the universe. Lord, you're too amazing to contemplate, to understand, to comprehend, Father, all the various facets there are about your personality. But we do pray this morning, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us in our service of worship today. We want to praise you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, that it's through his death upon the cross, his saving power, Father, that we're able to be here this morning. And we pray that we might know the presence of Jesus in the very middle of our worship today. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We bring you our adoration, Lord, this today. We ask, Lord, that we might hear your voice, that your Spirit, Lord, might bring us closer to you today. So that, Lord, when we leave this building this morning, we might know that we've been in the very presence of God himself. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing two more songs now. The first is on the screen, hopefully with the right words. And the second one will be in our books. And it's 182, not 181. Okay, apologies for that. So we'll do thing number 10 first. Thank you.
And now if you'd like to turn your books to number 182. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Of you have booked your holiday yet for next year. I must admit, I can never think further than end of next week, actually, let alone next year. But I'm sure probably some of you have done. Now, I don't know whether you tend to book your holiday. You used to go down to the travel agents and look at brochures. Of course, these days, with the internet and everything, a lot of people go and book it online, don't they, and try and look at the various pictures online and try and get a bit of a feel for, I think, of the kind of holiday that that they're booking. And quite often as well, I often quite like watch some of these programmes on television, like sort of Holidays from Hell as well, where things never quite turn out the way that they're described in the brochure, do they? You know, you look at the brochure sometime and you look at the descriptions of some of these holidays and things when you look online, and they never quite come up to the description that they have as well. We're going to be thinking this morning about what heaven is like. And, you know, we don't sort of really know what heaven is going to be like, do we? But we do get some clues when we read the Bible about the very nature of heaven and what it's going to be like when we join God and all the other Christians and believers and all the angels and the whole company are in heaven. And I think it's important, really, that we do kind of look at what the Bible does tell us about heaven, so that we can prepare ourselves for that time when Jesus returns and we shall be able to join him in heaven. So we're going to be thinking about that in our service this morning. As you know, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the study, which I know some of you have been doing in your house groups, on the Lord's Prayer. And this week we got right to the sort of last bit of the Lord's Prayer, which kind of gets us to thinking a little bit about heaven and about the future power and the future glory that we can look forward to as believers. So really just to kind of set the scene really this morning as to the things that we're going to be thinking about. And obviously, as you've noticed, some of the hymns that I've chosen this morning kind of fit around that theme of the glory and the holiness of God's kingdom in heaven. So we'll be thinking about that as we go through our service this morning. So in preparation for that, I'm going to ask Catherine now to step forward, who's going to read us some words from probably one of the books that we don't hear read out very often in church, from Revelation and chapter 4.
So Revelation chapter 4, the throne in heaven. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes, in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.
Thanks, thanks, Catherine. We'll be going to be looking at some of the words in that that passage a bit later on this morning. We're going to spend a little time now in prayer, because I'm afraid we're still here on earth at the moment, and you know, as we look around our world today, you know, we can see that, you know, it's very much full of lots of problems as well. So we're going to think about our world and about others as well, and we have a short time of quiet as well, just to bring our own prayers, our own thoughts to God this morning. So let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for that reading that Catherine brought us just now, which just gave us a kind of a glimpse, really, of what heaven is like. But Father, we're very conscious that we still live in a world, Lord, that seems to be pervaded by sin and wickedness and evil. And all of those things, Lord, just drag us down, and they can make us, Lord, feel depressed and afraid and downhearted. And Lord, we bring our world before you this morning. We bring you, Father, all the nations of the world. Lord, we have the privilege of being able to look at maps and to identify, Lord, where places are. But we can see, Lord, that there are many countries, Father, in our world today that are not in a good place. For those, Lord, that are in the grip of war at the moment, those that have got the threat of war hanging over them. Lord, we hear a lot about Ukraine, Lord, in the news, but there are many other places, Lord, in the Middle East and in Yemen and other places, Lord, where there is much unrest. We pray, Father, for those that are caught up in the middle of these conflicts. But we also pray, Lord, for those who've started these wars off in the first place. And, Lord, it's hard to understand, Father, why people want war and conflict rather than peace. So, Lord, we pray for leaders and politicians and governments, Lord, that have brought these things about. And just pray, Father, that somehow you might speak to individuals and to turn them, Lord, from war to peace. We pray, Lord, for those countries that haven't enough resources. We pray, Lord, for those who have got problems, Lord, with the economy and everything, Father. And we think of our own country, Lord, and the problems, Father, we have. And those people, Lord, this winter that will be struggling to pay their food bills and to buy food, Lord, to put on their tables. We pray, Lord, for food banks and for other organisations that do so much, Lord, to help those, Lord, who don't have enough. And we pray, Father, that even, Lord, though we might be feeling the pinch a bit this winter, Lord, we might be prompted, Father, by your Spirit to be generous givers, Lord, to those around us and those who are in need. We pray too, Lord, for this congregation, Lord, here at Kingsthorpe. We pray, Father, particularly for the Methodists today that are away at a special circuit meeting, Lord. And we just pray that you will be with them, that you will bless them, Lord, and that your Spirit, Father, might be with them, whatever they're doing. We pray, Lord, for the meal and for the church meeting, Father, after the service. And we pray, Lord, as we meet to discuss important things, Lord, about the future of this church here, Lord, in Kingsthorpe, that you might give us wisdom and direction to make the right choices, Lord, as we move forward together. We pray, Father, for those who are not well. Pray, Lord, for Ruth at the moment, who's at home having been tested positive for COVID, and for others, Lord, who are unwell at this present time. For those, Lord, who are awaiting the results of hospital tests. Those who are waiting to go into hospital to have the procedures done. Those, Lord, who are undergoing treatment, Father. We just pray, Lord, for people in their different circumstances. For those who've got problems, Lord, with work and employment. Those with family and marital problems. Lord, you know our situation. You know, Lord, the other people that we know that need your help at this time. We just pray and just take a minute or two, Lord, to bring those people, Lord, before you now. Or if we've got anything, Father, that we just need to place at your feet, that you'll just give us the prompt, Father, to do it. So, Father, we just pray all these things, Lord, in faith, knowing that you're a gracious and a loving God who wants the very best, Father, for people. And we just pray, Lord, that the things that we prayed about this morning, Lord, you might hear and answer. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we spend a few moments thinking about those words in Revelation, we're going to sing another song, number 34 in Songs of Fellowship, and the words should be on the screen, "At your feet we fall." Right, shall we give it a go? I think we have seen it. I'm pretty sure we have seen it before, haven't we? Yeah, a few knowing nods around, so let's give it all that we've got. Thank you. On a Sunday morning, how do you feel? I'm sure, you know, we all come, you know, we all have some weeks where we come, you know, with a great expectation of worship, you know, and we're really enthusiastic. And I'm sure there are some weeks where you come in with all the weight of the world and everything on your shoulders and kind of, you know, you think, well, what am I doing here? You know, how are you feeling this morning? You know, I'm not going to ask you to answer that, but I'm sure all of us have come with different emotions, different feelings, different expectations as we come to worship God together as a family. So as I said earlier, this week we're going to look at the very last words of the Lord's Prayer. And it finishes with, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Now, interestingly, these words, which the rest of the Lord's Prayer from Matthew's Gospel, they don't actually appear in the Bible. They don't actually form part of the Bible words in the Lord's Prayer, although they do sometimes appear as a footnote as some later words that were added by the early Christians. You know, if you actually read the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, it sort of stops short just before it gets to that bit. So it kind of begs the question, doesn't it really, whether when we say the Lord's Prayer, whether we should actually include these words in it or not, you know, if they're not part of the sort of original words which it's recorded that Jesus said. But I think they're quite important words, and clearly people thought they were important enough to include in the Lord's Prayer at a later date. And it draws us, doesn't it, and makes us think about the very nature of God's kingdom and about the kingdom that is going to come eventually and to reign on heaven and on earth. So we're going to look at these words of Revelation today. It's a vision that was given by Jesus to the Apostle John. And it gives us a glimpse, really, of what this coming kingdom is going to be like. So I've just got a few things, really, for us to kind of think about this morning. The first thing is that we're called by God to heaven. You know, we often like to think that, you know, at the end of the day, everybody is going to go to heaven. But, you know, the Bible doesn't actually say that. It's only those that are trusting and believing in Jesus that are going to be part of God's heavenly kingdom. In verse 4 it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me, like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" He was speaking to me like a trumpet. It's a very strange expression, actually, isn't it? But trumpets, actually, if you read the Bible, play quite an important part, actually, in things. And trumpets are often used as a way of calling people to worship, to often used to herald the arrival of a king. And if you remember last week, actually, there were a lot of trumpets, weren't there, at the Queen's funeral as well. And they were also used to call people into battle as well. If you remember the story of Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, and the sounding of the trumpets, and then all of the walls fall down. And of course, trumpets are going to be the sign of the return of Jesus, aren't they? When Jesus comes again, you know, it talks about the sound of the very final trumpet. And of course, John's vision talks about coming up here. Now, I don't know whether any of you like climbing up mountains or going up tall buildings. I know Sandra's not too keen on either of those activities. But very often, you know, if I go to the top of a mountain or the top of a tall building, I often shout down to Sandra, say, come up here and have a look. It's a really good view right from the top of this place. And Sandra calls, no, I think I'll give it a miss, thank you very much. But I think what Jesus is saying here is, you know, he wants us to come up there with him and have a look at what it's going to be like, to give us a bit of a glimpse of the things that we're going to look forward to when we get into heaven. You know, there are sort of glimpses, aren't there, recorded all over the Bible of people having that little vision, those little sort of snapshots almost of what heaven is going to be like. You know, you remember the story of Jacob and the ladder that went up to heaven and the angels ascending and descending as well. You know, and he had that sense, didn't he, of God there in heaven. And when Stephen was stoned as well, he had that vision of being in heaven as well. God wants us to have a bit of a foretaste, I believe, in this time now of his kingdom, and to really experience the good things that he's got in store for us. I think God also wants us to, and it says here, doesn't it, about being in the Spirit. Now, we need to be in the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking here about having one too many drinks, right? Let's get that clear to start with. But in verse 2, John sort of talks about, all at once, I was in the Spirit. You know, when we come to God in prayer, when we come to worship God, are we in the Spirit? You know, are we kind of caught up? You know, are we transported into a different world? You know, are we putting the things of this world to one side and completely and utterly transformed and absorbed in heaven with God? You know, are we really that close? Are we really that part of that experience? You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, there's times when I feel really close to God and things are really time, but there's also many times when, you know, I feel as far away from God as you can be. You know, there seems to be so many things, doesn't there, in the world in which we live today that get in the way of our experience and our closeness to God. You know, it's not uncommon for people, you know, you often hear people say, oh, I'm really finding church a bit of a drag at the moment. You know, my faith, it's, you know, I'm really finding it struggle at the minute. I really can't kind of get to grips with things. And they separate us, don't they? They stop us, don't they, from having that communion, that oneness with God. But I think we need to be encouraged by these words, that God wants us, you know, it's his desperate desire for us to be with us as much as we possibly can. And he wants to sort of drag us out of that sort of depth of despair that we so often find ourselves in, and to be lifted up into his heavenly presence. You know, the problem 9 times out of 10 is ours, isn't it? It's not God's problem, it's our problem. You know, we so often get dragged down by things. You know, and we often blame, don't we, others or the church or the service or, you know, the songs that we've sung or the preacher or whatever. You know, hundreds of one things that we blame it on as to why we don't have that sort of worship that we really desire to have. But, you know, many times the problem is with us, isn't it? You know, if we come to church with the attitude, well, I'm not going to get much out of the service today, the chances are we probably won't, will we, actually? But sometimes, you know, God breaks through that barrier, doesn't he? And wants to bring us closer to him. The third thing is that we need to prepare for heaven. You know, God wants us to prepare us, to make us ready for that time when he returns and takes us back with him to heaven. You know, somebody once said that earth is heaven's dress rehearsal. You know, so, you know, we God wants us not to miss out on those times now. God wants us to have a taste of heaven now, you know, whilst we're on earth, however hard and difficult life seems to be. I've often wondered, you know, we heard that reading, didn't we, that Catherine did from Revelation, which gave us a bit of a kind of a foretaste almost, didn't it? A sort of an inkling of what worship in heaven is going to be like. You know, and I often wonder, you know, what it's going to be like when you get to heaven. Is it going to be like one long Sunday service? You think, oh, I hope not. But, you know, it begs the question. It's difficult, isn't it, to kind of get your head around all of those sorts of things. And, of course, the vision of Revelation is about heaven coming down to earth, about God revealing himself to us. You know, God wants us to worship him now, doesn't he? Not so the worship that we do now prepares us for that even better, perfect worship we're going to experience when we're in heaven. You know, it's a kind of a seamless continuum. You know, we worship a God who is holy and mighty. We've sung those words lots and lots today. You know, in verse 8, John sees the vision of the four living creatures. And it says, day and night they never stop singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, heaven's the place where there's total and utter submission to God. Everybody's focused and willing and ready to do what God wants. Now, verses 10 and 11, you know, talks about the 24 elders who were probably the Old Testament tribes and the New Testament disciples. We don't know that exactly, but, you know, all of the leaders, if you like, in heaven are worshipping and bowing down before God. You know, as nonconformists, we don't go much in for this sort of kneeling lark, do we really? You know, if somebody says, let us pray, we do what I call the evangelical slump. We go like that, don't we? We bow your head and, you know, let us pray. And that's what we all kind of do. We don't go in much for this sort of kneeling stuff, really. But sometimes I think there are times when we genuinely really ought to spend a bit more time actually going down on our knees, isn't there? You know, we really need to bow before God. It's a symbol, isn't it? A sign of our humility, of our obedience towards God as our King. But of course, worship's not just about what happens on a Sunday morning. It's about the whole of our lives, the things that we do here, the things that we do at home, the things that we do at work, in all of our situations. The final thing is that heaven can lift us out of our suffering now here on earth. You know, I believe very much that we're in the last days here on earth. You know, as we look around the things that are happening in our world today, you know, we can see that we live in a world that's so full of evil and suffering, you know. But it's very likely as well that the very first readers of this book of Revelation were persecuted Christians. So, you know, they were in a pretty similar sort of situation to what we are today. You know, there's a lot in Revelations. It's a bit of a scary book, isn't it, Revelations? It's not one that you kind of naturally gravitate to. It's a bit frightening. It's difficult to understand. But I also think there's a lot to encourage us and to strengthen us today. And I recommend that, you know, if you don't do anything else, perhaps it's a good book to start to have a look at over the next little while. You know, the Bible talks about us often about being citizens of heaven. You know, that's our natural birthplace, isn't it? You know, when we convert, when we become Christians, you know, we're actually part of heaven's kingdom. You know, so that's the place that we've kind of spiritually born from, and that's going to be our spiritual destination at the end of all things. And I'm sure if we had a passport that was issued by God, a paper passport, you know, like I'm sure you've got at home, it would say that that's exactly what we are. Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, if you look at your passport, it talks to you about being a British citizen, doesn't it? You know, it tells you where your home is. But of course, God's never promised us a life of no troubles or anything. And of course, a passport doesn't grant you diplomatic immunity either, does it? And of course, even Jesus himself had to suffer, didn't he, and die for us while he was here on earth. But you know, despite the suffering and the difficulties that we experience in our lives, you know, God wants us to hang on in there, knowing that one day all suffering will disappear and will be part of that heavenly kingdom. So our time here then on earth prepares us, doesn't it, for our everlasting time in heaven. You know, heaven's the final destination, the final reward, the resting place for those who truly belong to God. Martin Luther once said that we should live our lives as if Christ died yesterday, he's alive today, and he's coming back tomorrow. We should live our lives as if Christ died yesterday, he's alive today, and he's coming back tomorrow. You know, the big question, you know, is, are we ready for that time? Are we ready for heaven? You know, the final words there in that Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." I think I'm going to miss the next song out, but I would like us to say the Lord's Prayer together. So perhaps if we could say the Lord's Prayer, and we'll include those final words in it. So let's pray though, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So let's join together now and sing our final hymn, which is number 44, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Story, this is my song. Finish by reading a few words from the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.